Okay, so my name is Chris Johnson. A lot of people in the room will already know me from the CDSA, the role I have in the CDSA. I've been in compliance basically all of my working life since leaving the police force, which was a whole career in the 80s and 90s. I've written a couple of programs for site security, but we are all about to transition, if we haven't already, into a cloud or a hybrid cloud solution. And we've got some issues. And one of the biggest issues that we've got is, what are the concepts of compliance and what are we going to adopt as our compliance program? So the purpose of this short session is to talk about some of those concepts, look at what's available to us now, because we haven't anything that's particularly industry specific, although we have got some very interesting developments in the form of white papers that are coming out from the gentleman at the back from Motion Pictures, which is, I would encourage people to read, and there's some more stuff coming out of that in the very near future. So we have got a lot of research material. But some people say, those in Top Gear, some say that the cloud is this lovely heavenly place. It's particularly safe, it's friendly, it's fast, it's efficient. But some believe that behind that lurks this really dark, sinister place where we're going to get our stuff stolen, or we're going to have denial of service take place, all sorts of nasty things. But what we do know already, that if we do it correctly, we can secure that environment. But how's that going to get achieved? If we follow best practice and standards, then we can reach these undisputed speed, cost, efficiencies. If we don't, we're going to meet significant security pitfalls. And it's going to cost us a lot of money, it's going to cost us a lot of time, and it's going to destroy reputations. If we already know that, why is it so difficult to transition to the cloud securely? And part of the reason, I believe, is that we've currently got too much choice. So depending on where you sit geographically for your compliance requirements for the studios may determine which standard, which international standard you're going to use. So are you going to use NIST? Are you going to use ISO? Are you going to use cloud security version 4? Are you going to use COVID? Are you going to, you know, ISACA? They've all got a finger in the pie. They've all got a piece of the game. And whilst we're still waiting for the Trusted Partner Network to come up with their security guideline, we can't wait. We've got to do something, because as Andrew said next door, 20% of people have already migrated. 80% of people are either looking to migrate or are partway through that process. So each user case is going to be different, and I think that's where the real issues exist. So what can we do about that? Thanks. We've got to adopt some basic principles. I personally believe that if you use cloud security version 4 and go to the mapping matrix that sits within cloud security version 4, you're already on a good path to compliance. And it's going to probably meet the majority of what the TPN, the Trusted Partner Network requirements, are going to tell you. Because that's the thing, we don't want to go off on a tangent and reinvent the wheel here. We just, until that comes out, need to use what's already existing. But then we've got to use some principles. So going back to the gentleman at the back that's written this white paper, within his white paper, there are some great fundamental principles that we can look at. In this, by the way, isn't my work. It's been taken from the National Cyber Security Centre website. If you Google it in the UK, it's a HMG funding website, and it's got some great practical advice, and I'm quite happy to circulate the details for it. But basically what it does is it promotes looking at the standards, but apply these principles to it. So what are your business requirements? So for us, that's workflows. So we can apply our workflows to one of those international standards. That's where the TPN, when it comes, will help us. And there's some great work. We sat on the technology committee yesterday that's developing these things. And they're making significant progress. But they've got to get the business process right, because there's so many component elements to this. It's really complex. It's not going to be done by an individual assessor. It's going to have to be done by a group of assessors. Is that going to be a company? Is it going to be a joint venture? Can you combine those skill sets to get the assessments done of the applications and cloud environments that we need? So you've got to know what your business requirements are. Understand what your risks are going to be. So what have you got sat where? I've read some academic research. Most companies don't even know what they've got up in the cloud. Most companies aren't even vetting their cloud providers. They're just going ahead and doing this blindly. And it was a high percentage. It was greater than 70% of people aren't actually vetting their cloud security provider. Go onto that HMG website, it'll tell you all about this, and it will give you some really good practical advice as to how to go about selecting a cloud vendor and what to do. So, if you understand all of that, then you should be able to understand the level of assurance that each of these products and services will offer. And then you might have some additional mitigation that you can apply to it. So it may not be in the form of the advice given by AWS or Microsoft Azure, but the products and services are available, of course. So what other additional mitigations can you apply? And then what risks have you got left? You might decide that you're going to accept those risks. You might decide that you're going to transfer those risks to somewhere else. But what you've got to do is continually manage it, monitor what's going on. And we're probably some months away before we get this assistance from the TPM. So what Janice is going to do is she's going to look at the methodology that we can help you to do that. But just as a bit of a recap, here's my pyramid of security control. At the top of the pyramid, we've got these international standards. As I said, it doesn't really matter. They all say the same thing. It's like a Morgan-wise comedy sketch. I know all the right notes, but I don't necessarily have them all in the right order. They all say the same thing. So just pick one, but go have a good look at Cloud Security Alliance version 4, because it's got a great map. Then what you've got is you've got AWS, Microsoft Azure, IBM, so on, Google, so on and so forth. They've all got implementation guidance on their websites to varying degrees. I mean, AWS, they've gone to the lengths of ISACA reviewing it, NIST. If you look at Azure take more of a handheld approach, and they will give you a lot of support in the form of consultancy advice, so on and so forth. And eventually we'll get our industry best practices in at the top of that triangle. But the bit on the bottom right is, that's where you probably need some consultancy support if you haven't got anyone in-house to do it for you. You need to document your workflows and make sure you're configuring it correctly. And if you're building your applications to sit on a public cloud and you're a provider, then you've got to go through a software development lifecycle that's going to meet that requirement, and you might need some support from that. So that's it from me. I'm going to hand it over to these two guys who are a bit more technical than that. So. Thanks.
When we were putting together a team at Convergent for cloud security, we brought together all of our subject matter experts, where all of us have had experience evaluating cloud technologies or applications. And in that exercise, we looked at common themes where we have found that assessments in the past fell short. And what we found oftentimes is that in a methodology, oftentimes it was the scope statement in the beginning where it wasn't actually accurate. And so when we came together, we thought, well, how can we make a process, a methodology that's thorough so that in the end you get an assessment that is going to be thorough and comprehensive and also address really where your security issues are. It really starts with the discovery phase. And we find that there really are five really key components to that. You know, when you sit down and when you're with these stakeholders and you're going over what their goals are with going through an assessment or even a consultancy, oftentimes we find that stakeholders oftentimes don't know their environment completely. So before you can even finalize your scope, you go in generally knowing what you're going to look at. But it's really important to start off with that architecture review so you understand all the components. Oftentimes, there are third parties that are involved in the implementation and knowing how any data or content is traversing those environments, any APIs that you have in place, the servers you have, how you've architected the environment. And then looking intuitively at those workflows. You know, do we really understand the workflow? And finding out where there are problems and where those workflows are broken. You know, what we find is that oftentimes when clients are moving from an on-prem situation to the cloud, it's not apples for apples. It's oftentimes those workflows already might be broken because you might have all these one-off workflows. And then when you try and move that to the cloud, you really have to go about it in a very structured way. So once we have that information, that gives us more guidance as to the final scope. And we believe that going through the final scope with your stakeholders becomes very important. And again, there's some clients of ours that maybe they only want to focus on a portion because that's where they feel their risk is. And maybe that's all they can afford at the time. So once we get that finalized, that's the perfect opportunity to do penetration testing in the cloud. And there are some misconceptions around penetration testing. When we think of it in an on-prem environment, we're using the specific tools that we all know about. But in a cloud environment, you're using very different tools. And then once you provide all of that, then that's how you come together with your full assessment. And part of it can be remote, part of it can be on-site, to actually get a good idea of what you're looking at. But ultimately, it's driven by the client as well. And what we find is that oftentimes, security professionals are not brought in at the very beginning of the implementation. And as a result, there might be problems with the implementation and that they don't know how to solve. And it really starts by having a framework. We've chosen the Cloud Security Alliance's Cloud Controls Matrix version 4, and we've added certain elements of NIST and OWASP, and also some COVID 5 in there. But it really can be, some organizations we find already have a framework in place, where others really don't even know where to begin. And that's where we've been helping vendors in this area. Because if you don't have a framework, you have no accountability in your organization. And so, all of that really drives your tasks of developing those control objectives. And oftentimes, to do that effectively, it's doing a gap analysis, where we're looking at your current state against that desired state, against that framework, as a place to start. That gives us ideas of how we need to develop certain control objectives that accurately reflect our workflows and where we have those problem areas. And those security baselines become very important. We find that in the field, when we start looking at a lot of documentation, it's just not there. And organizations really need that support in developing that. But that also gives us the guidance to really focus on those high-risk items that need to be remediated as well. So when we're looking at design, one thing we can't stress enough is the importance of threat modeling. Those exercises really help us to figure out, all those threat vectors that make us susceptible as an organization. And it really depends on how you implement cloud. We have certain clients that have more of a hybrid situation. Maybe they're just using edge computing. They want to be in control of their content and data, or maybe it's a full implementation. So your threat model is going to be very different. And when you're sitting down with your teams and going through those exercises and also including penetration testing in that, it's going to help you to build security in a very purpose-built manner. So we also like to look at, when we're looking at workflow and processes, how can we automate? How can we create efficiencies that make everything seamless? But also one of the beauties of automation is that you take the human element out of it and you de-risk certain processes that way. Also what we find, and usually this is on the back end once there have been problems or there's been a leak, many of us are using agile development. And if we're not properly documenting, what happens is oftentimes you're bringing in consultants to help you with that development, but once they leave the project, all that knowledge sometimes goes away. If it's not properly documented, you might find yourself in a situation where you don't understand your infrastructure, you have to reverse engineer. So, as a part of the design, we like to look at it holistically and also make sure that we have certain playbooks that we develop. Because you're going to handle things differently with instant response, such as how you're going to handle malware attacks. How are you going to handle the insider threat? You might do that through your identity management. How are you going to manage permissions? And so when we start looking at all these areas, one thing that we've looked at is the National Cybersecurity Center in the UK. They're a government organization that sets standards around cloud security. They've come up with 14 particular objectives. And we've highlighted four here, but we feel like those are really the most important to talk about in a very short period of time. Again, this is all very high level. We can always talk about this after if you like. But what we find is logging and monitoring for logging's sake really doesn't serve us, does it? It depends on what you're using, whether you're using AWS, Azure, IBM, or a private cloud. There's all these logging services that are available to you that do different things. But if you're not correlating that data in a way where you're getting alerts that are meaningful, that are actually going to help you to be proactive in your environment, then you're saving all of this data and you're paying a lot for that storage, and it's not serving you. So that's also where we try and add value. Also in asset management, we talk about the principle of least privilege and how we're going to implement that in our environment. That becomes very important in our implementations. And networking, really understanding all the components of your infrastructure. Managed services. Oftentimes, we're dependent on the services of our cloud provider, but also we're oftentimes bolting on other services. So we need to also understand what risks that brings into our environment. So we're cataloging all of our risks and doing that threat modeling. We can take all that into consideration so we know how to deploy our security effectively. And when it comes to implementation, there are things that we automatically know. Training is very important, isn't it? Because if you have a workforce that isn't properly trained, your cloud implementation is not going to be successful. Continuous monitoring and testing becomes so important. The threat landscape is changing constantly. And oftentimes we'll see organizations that will maybe only do a penetration test once a year. But in our opinion, that needs to be happening on a quarterly basis, whether that's happening internally by your teams or externally by a third party. And we see the controls that we develop as constantly changing to meet that environment. So we kind of look at our control framework as a living, breathing document. So that way we can constantly upgrade against all the risks that we have, make sure we're approaching everything effectively. And we also have to understand each organization is different. There are going to be nuances that we have to understand. And if we don't do proper discovery in the very beginning, it will all fall short in the end.
So I can talk about engagement. What does engagement look like? Recognize that you need to kind of verify that your cloud security controls are correct and that you're also following the best practices and industry standards that suit to you, then an engagement with the third parties is important. And what we found with the clients we're working with at the moment is that you've got three types, you call them three areas. First, you might be really in cloud, you might be working with cloud end to end for the last number of years. But with that, there might be issues that we've seen examples where people have just imported their on-prem solution into the cloud and therein lies lots of issues. And second, you might then find your hybrids of contents on-prem that you're using applications to the cloud, whether it's a SaaS application or
licensing a third-party application and running it. And there you've got lots of different touch points, and you know there are risk areas there. And lastly, you might just be thinking about going to the cloud, or you might have just started. And of course, there you've got you know, a mixed approach, and this is where, again, vulnerabilities come in. So, you know, listening to what Janice has said, putting this into the framework of engagement, what does this look like? What does this look like for you as a, so an application provider or using the cloud network? It's really about understanding who the stakeholders are. And the most important part about this is not to try and tackle the whole thing at once. It is to tackle the area that we're most concerned about. You know, is it that network and logging area? Is it use of permissions? What is the area that we're most concerned about? Because the issues we find is that, you know, however sophisticated your cloud workflow is, everybody has areas of concern. And there may well be vulnerabilities that you're not currently aware of. So we listen to the stakeholders, and this might be in the green scope, it might be an hour, it might be a day, it might be a week, it's kind of whatever you need. We then do the testing, we're then going to verify what you're saying. So you're agreeing to follow a control framework, best standards, and what we're going to do therefore is test whether you're actually doing that in reality. And then when we've gone in and we've sort of mapped this, we're then going to produce for a very easy to use reports, a bit like in a pre-assessment, where you can map the overall compliance. So in this, it can't be really very well, but typically you might say 60% compliant. There's 40% of the issues in these areas that are not compliant yet. And that helps you drive what you're going to do next, and also the priority of the way in which you do it. One of the issues is when you're working hands-on trying to get this done, you're putting in some budget and management team, and giving them easy to understand graphics of you know, what is needed and how serious these issues are is what it's all about. Then we're going to make recommendations of actually how you implement this and how you take it forward. And then the implementation stage itself, we can either project manage it or we can stand from a distance or do it hands-on. And going forward, it's not just like a one-off engagement, it's all about ongoing support, because the content owners need assurance that if they're going to work, if you're going to work with their content in cloud workflows, they need to see some sort of independent verification of what you're saying you're doing, you are actually doing. And as we're going to see with the TPM cloud framework protocol that's coming in next year, there'll be changes to existing ones. And it's a complex area, it's kind of almost a full-time job that you need. Some companies will need help and support in doing that, and that's what we're all about. So Conversion as a company is all about trying to provide as many sort of resources as we can in risk assessment and mitigation. So we started with site security assessments. We found that a lot of companies aren't ready to go through a full site security assessment, so we pre-assessment with them. We get their priority of remediation done first, so that we get a cleaner run through something like a TPM assessment. We do penetration testing, we handle privacy, it's really sort of trying to help and support as best we can that whole sort of drive through trying to increase the overall security. And one thing from Conversion's point of view is interesting is that all of the efforts that people are going to now to remediate and go through these best practices, that the amount of remediation that takes place really speaks for itself. So it's a real win-win situation. Everybody's security is increasing. So that's it. So if anybody has any questions, then feel free to ask. Good. Nice to meet you.